Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Peresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Hey friend, I am so excited to invite you to a free 3-day challenge called the Reflect and Renew Challenge. In this free challenge, you'll begin to think about teaching elementary music in a new way. In just 3 days, you'll go from feeling overwhelmed to confident and will surround yourself with other music teachers who will support and encourage you. Day one is all about reflecting. You'll reflect back over where you're at in the school year and identify the highs and lows, no matter if you are joining this challenge at the beginning, middle, or end of the school year. We start with reflecting first in order to move forward successfully. Day two is all about processing. You'll process through what it is you need to focus on to make your music teaching situation successful. Then day three is all about renewal. You'll break through mindset beliefs while setting goals and action steps to help you meet them. Each day of the challenge, you'll be getting a daily challenge email that will contain action steps for you to take. So simply head to subscribepage.com/reflect-and-renew-challenge to save your seat, and I'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Chris Nessie from the House of EdTech podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. I am excited to be joined by some friends I met in Philly at the FABS conference. And I've known Jesse for a while now, kind of online in the virtual space, but they are all about bucket drumming and in fact are creating some cool things with food and rhythms. And so we're going to get into all that. So before we do, guys, can you just go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the work you do in music education and all those good things?
Of course. Trevane, you can go ahead.
Yeah, so my name is Trevane Bryson. I am an elementary teacher with the Philadelphia School District. I'm originally a math teacher, but I have a lot of background in music. My brothers and I have been playing music pretty much maybe 3, 5, and 7. That's our ages, all our life. So we've been in the music industry. I've traveled, have a group called Mosaic Flow. My brothers, Jermaine and Damon, are, my younger brother is with the Legendary Roots Crew. My older brother is with Kooligan Gang. So we've just been around music all our life and been a part of it.
Awesome. And Jesse, amazing. Yeah, Jesse, what about you?
So I grew up in, actually in Philly, and then my mom got remarried and I moved out to the suburbs, up to an area called Quakertown, which is an hour north of Philadelphia, and spent most of my childhood there in high school. And then I came down to Temple University to attend Esther Boyer College of Music for music education, and then went immediately to work for the Philadelphia School District as their first drumline specialist. So I was basically tasked with just building drumline programs in middle and high schools across Philadelphia, and literally had nothing to work with, like just instruments sometimes, but not always. I remember making practice pads in my garage, just buying hundreds of pairs of drumsticks and writing a lot of music. I was, you know, this came out came out of my memory as I was presenting to Temple University on Tuesday in a class that it was about creativity. And they talked about just the intersection of all the different things that make you a creative being. And for me, the intersectionality of how I started making music and creating music and writing curriculums was I walked into Strawberry Mansion High School on my first day, and I saw a ton of kids that really had like just amazing ability and they could really drum. And I put music in front of them and they told me that they really weren't great at reading music. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, you know, what kind of music are you into? And they started playing a lot of music that I was into as well. And so we worked together to write that music out and taught music reading from a pattern recognition standpoint that kind of got over the need to backtrack and get into like the dots and cuts and ties and all the things that make music reading just confusing, especially for beginning notation readers and especially for kids that are great at music but just haven't had a lot of experience reading. So I think that that really started my journey that ended now with developing a new notation system for rhythm that is a fusion of digital audio workstation, drumming platforms, and like the traditional ways of speaking rhythms by using food names, which to my best understanding is most prevalent in the Suzuki method of violin study. And so like, I'm really, really excited. We're not allowed to reveal the book until the release date of May 1st, but all I can say is it has a brand new notation system. It's like super intuitive to the point where non-musicians and non-music teachers can really just figure it out on their own. And so we're excited to release this not only to the music education community, but just to America as a whole, to see if people can use it as a way to facilitate music making at home.
Ooh, love that. I can relate to your story a little bit, but in the elementary music world where nice. I kind of took over a music program in Tulsa that hadn't had music for 7 years. And wow. I had no instruments. The kids, you know, like my fifth graders were the oldest grade, but they had, some of them had taken private lessons or done music at church or other things, but they hadn't had a formal music class. And so I remember just feeling stuck going, well, wait, the standards say these kids should be able to blah, 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 blah. But I remember thinking, instead of feeling defeated, you know what I mean? Like, instead of feeling defeated and being like, they can't play a 16th note rhythm or whatever it was, I went, what can they do? How can I start them? And I'm not saying it was easy, but like, kind of like you, I think when you're thrown into those situations where you're just kind of forced to figure it out because you have to, it makes you kind of, I don't know, like made my creativity come alive and maybe be like, okay, they can't do this. I don't have this, but what can I do instead? So one thing that really captured my interest when I heard you guys present was the fact that I did some bucket drumming and we did a ton of body percussion. We did a lot of, like you said, like counting rhythms, but in different ways. I had taken some ORF training and learned about like speech pieces and things like that and using different words to count rhythms. And so I did a lot of that instead of the notes and then later on would connect it. But I didn't know, not that it, no one else was doing it, but I didn't know a lot of other music teachers doing it that way. So it always makes you feel like, am I doing it wrong? Is this not how we should be doing it? But there's not a one size fits all approach. And so I don't know. I love the work you both are doing. And there's a lot of kids who we know, like it looks different everywhere. There's some kids who don't get that music programs are cut. Or like you said, maybe there's not a music teacher at a school and them being able to bring music to their students, even if they don't have a formal music education background. I love that you guys are, you know, creating a way for them to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And can I ask you real quick, what is the phobia of teaching 16th notes to kids like early? Is that like why when I joined the Philadelphia School District, that's the first thing that so many teachers told me. They said, don't try to do 16th notes on the first lesson or until like December or something. I'm like, what? Like, how can you teach without getting into 16th notes? Like, I understand that that's very, very difficult for wind instruments, you know, because you want to form the proper embouchure and all that. But for every other instrument, especially for drums, I don't know how you could just avoid that like the plague, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever unpacked that. I think it's just coming back to probably even the training I got in college, which was like, you start with ta, tt, or however you count them. It's like quarter, eighth notes, and then even half note, whole note before 16th. But I mean, naturally, if a kid, you know, you say clap a rhythm, they're going to already kind of do a lot of the faster patterns first anyways.
How many kids have ever just clapped a whole note when you ask them to clap?
Yeah, they're not going to go like this, you know, like hold it out for 4 beats. But yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that's honestly like, why are we not? I don't know. I don't know. Any thoughts around that?
And the whole note could be a 16th note, but you just don't know it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 1/16th note.
Yeah, right.
So I remember coming up in the elementary school level and the middle school level, and I didn't get introduced to music notation until the summer before my high school year. Mm. So I was already playing, played in church a lot, just playing around. My brothers and I was always playing around. But if it was a system like this and they had music education within the schools that I attended, that would have been great. Just to have a system like this, which will be revealed later on in the future, but to have a system like this in place where kids could have access to clapping out and playing those rhythms at an early age, and understand and be able to apply that, the notation, when they get to the upper grade. So that's, you know, important.
Absolutely.
I didn't know what 16th notes were when I was growing up. I just knew I knew how to play them.
Right. And I think that's okay. I think sometimes we're so focused on, I'm a classically trained pianist, so it's kind of like ingrained in me because that's how I was always taught, was to read the melody, read the rhythms, read all the things. Mm-hmm. But one thing I wasn't, and one thing that I feel like I missed out on, was more of the ear training and improvising and just playing and feeling the music, which I think is missing from a lot of music. I mean, you know, like with kids. And so sometimes I think, like you made a good point about like, teachers need to take a step back from our classical training and realize that these kids don't care about that. They just want to learn music. And so teaching them to feel it and experience it is so important.
Totally. I mean, actually, reading notation is identified as the fifth of five competencies in culturally responsive practice for music education, which is like a really great book. And it's identified as actually the least important to developing musicianship, because I always thought about if all you were going to do was read a sheet of music, that would be like having gym class where you just read a book about playing basketball instead of actually playing basketball, you know, which that would, many, many kids would be very upset if they went to gym class and that's all they got to do was just sit in a chair and read about sports instead of actually trying to play sports, or reading about dancing instead of dancing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah. So let's talk about bucket drumming. I know both of you do this, like we did this even at the workshop I sat in on with you both. And so why is bucket drumming? Well, first of all, like, just why do you love it? And then teachers that are like, oh, like maybe find themselves in the camp of, I don't have a lot of instruments or drums, and how can they get them, or what can they do with them, and all those things.
Mm-hmm. Jermaine?
So why bucket drumming for me is just that accessibility to those kids being able to have a space where they can actually play. So if there's no drum around, I know we played on desk at school. Teachers always would get mad at me. I was always thumping something out. The teacher would be like, not during class, but just having a space where you could put sticks in a kid's hand and they're having something to actually play on is, I believe, is very important. Something that has different tones to it. It is accessible. It's cheap. Is, you know, you could probably buy a whole combination for less than $12 a bucket and a pair of sticks. So it's just accessibility for me. Of why bucket drumming.
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned that there's different tones to it, because I'm not sure. This is another thing too that is really revolutionary about this learning system in the book, is I don't know how many people have actually used bucket drumming as the first step in a journey to developing competency in the entire percussion family intentionally. And that's where my background as a classically trained and a jazz trained percussionist and an alumni of drum corps. And, you know, teaching competitive percussion ensemble comes to bear is that I'm thinking about bucket drumming as the first step in a journey that will actually take kids all the way through exploration of all the percussion instruments. And what makes the bucket so special is that when you look at, when you flip that Lowe's or Home Depot bucket over, you're going to see that there's a rim around it, just like the rim of a snare drum. Mm-hmm. And there's a centerpiece to it that actually gives you two very distinct tones. It gives you a low tone, which we call in drum set playing the kick drum or the bass drum. And then it gives you the high pitch, which we call the backbeat or the snare on a drum set. And so we intentionally position one hand on the bass tone and one hand on the rim for the first half of the book, just so kids understand how beats are constructed with low and high sounds with that kick and backbeat. And that goes all the way back to the evolution or to the source of drumming, the very beginnings of drumming, where it was really just high and low tones having a conversation with each other. So I think that it really positions the kids to just orally develop their perception of how beats are made with the high and low sounds, and also pays homage to the very source of drumming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had never really taken the time to even think about the fact that a bucket can be played as a drum, first of all, but also, like you said, can produce different tones. Mm-hmm. And you just, you know, like if you hand something like that to a little kid, a bucket, they're just going to immediately just start beating on it. But it's really mm-hmm. neat when you explore it, and even you hit the rim or the side or, you know, different parts of it. Like you said, even the very center of the top of it, when you flip it over, it makes different tones. And I never mm-hmm. really even thought about that. And that's so cool. So you can explore it and explore different sounds. That's awesome. So you have a curriculum, and I can talk about it because this episode will come out after May 1st. So we're going to talk about it in a curriculum you created called Food Beats. And so tell us how this came to be, where different food rhythms, you already kind of touched on the food part and why you like using it, but just let's just explore why this book came to be.
It's interesting because, like I said, people have been using foods to vocalize rhythms for a really long time. Do you know how old the Suzuki method is?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I know it's old, but I can't remember like when.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, people have been using foods to teach rhythms for a long time. And we're not in any way trying to, like, you know, run the table on the food vocalization game. But what we are bringing to it that differs from a lot of systems is the idea of teaching syncopation. And in particular, like very high level syncopation, and making that high level syncopation accessible to beginning players. Because the whole way that I got to bring in the Food Beats method was I was trying to explain a syncopated bass drum part to kids in a drum line at Kensington High School back in like 2004. And I was looking at the paper and I said, yeah, well, like that dotted eighth note. And then the next eighth note, just the next dotted eighth note comes in right before B2. And then the next one, well, that one's tied. And then the next one has a slash on it. So then you have to count it like this. And I ended up starting, like, come on, guys, say it. One E and a two E and a three E and a foot. And they're like, what the are you talking about? Like, this makes no sense to me. Like, what is all the Iana in the front of the teeth? What is that? And why are you saying some of them louder than others? And I was like, all right, just say pineapple, 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 pineapple pie. And they were like, okay, cool. And I was like, all right, put your feet to it. And they were able to master a very difficult hemiola, which is how we say an interpolation of a different rhythm over a steady pulse that moves at a different speed at the same time. Like almost immediately, and they were able to all play it together. And if anybody, you know, any of my orchestra or band directors or anybody who works with any ensemble out there can tell you how difficult that is to teach syncopation in a way that kids will be able to keep it in a pocket or together, because you need to be able to vocalize that. But the Western notation system is not set up to do that. So we're not trying to like reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. We're actually using foods to make rhythms that kids hear in pop music and trap music and hip hop every day accessible to them from the very first lesson.
Love it. Love it. Anything else to add on that, Trevane?
I think Jesse touched on it.
Okay.
That's amazing. Excellent job, Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so this curriculum, it's separate from the book, or it is the book, or just explain the difference, or if there is a difference between the curriculum and the book.
The curriculum is something I've been using for about 20 years, ever since I started teaching with Philly School District. The book utilizes the curriculum to teach kids how to play bucket drums.
Gotcha.
And also, not only that, but the bucket drumming beats have other parts in them. They have shaker parts.
Oh, cool.
So that we actually turn the classroom into almost a Afro-Cuban percussion ensemble.
Oh,
of
cool.
Sorts. Yes. And there might be accessibility for blocks and bells and all types of things. Trevain, can you tell Jessica to like some of the other things that we do besides just bucket drumming beats? Because once you start watching the videos, we don't actually play the buckets for even half of it.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. I'd love to hear about that.
So we also have within the book, the system, we also have, as you talked about earlier, the body beats aspect of it and using those food pictorials to actually get movement going within the classroom. Being from the urban setting, I definitely believe that movement is a very integral part in learning. So just having that component within the book, and also have some challenges within the book. We have some affirmations going on within the book. So it's not just all about playing on the bucket. You'll get a slew of other things that happen within the book that can help the kids out with learning.
That's awesome. So break down the process a little bit. A teacher turns the page to, let's say, I don't know, even lesson one. What will they see in there? Like, how does it break it down for them to be able to teach it? Like, we already mentioned maybe a teacher who doesn't have a music background. So how does it help them know what to do with their students and, yeah, like what instruments to use and all those things?
Trevain actually trains teachers to deliver this curriculum in rec centers and after school programs all over Philadelphia. So I'm going to let Trevain take the lead on this.
That's amazing.
So ask the question one more time.
Yeah. So a teacher, they get the book and let's say they flip to lesson one, and how do they know what to do? Like, is it laid out in a way that makes sense to even someone who doesn't have a musical background?
Yes.
Okay.
So the very first lesson you will see on that very first page of how to actually hold the sticks. We have a system of how to teach the kids of actually how to hold the sticks. From there, with some chants and everything, from there we go into actually what part, explaining the various parts of the bucket and which is going to be used. We have a skill builder exercises in there. So before you even learn a beat, you're going to learn what skills are going to help you to master that beat. So it's all laid out from steps one through three, four, five, six, and to actually get you to our end result in playing that specific rhythm on that beat, on that bucket. So it's very laid out. It's very easy to follow. Picture friendly. So
it just like with the kids, there's all kinds of different learning styles that you are catering to.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. And for the teacher, you know, I've taught general music. I've taught music to total beginners outside of school. I've taught classes of kids at rec centers. Mm-hmm. I've taught percussion ensemble, beginning drumming, marching band, concert band, basically everything. And so I really like to, when I write method books, because this is actually my fifth book as a publisher. The other four were all just for drumming in the band room. So what I like to do is just think about the teachers and the students' journey through a 45-minute lesson. And I think about what would they like to do first? What would they like to do next? And how can we tie all that together so that the class just builds momentum until the end of the class is just like a performance that has like a timeline to it that really ties everything in. So the kids really feel like their learning was meaningful and productive all within the space of a class. And I really want to shout out, there's a teacher at Columbia University, a professor named Dr. Christopher Emden, who wrote a really amazing book called For think it's called For White Folk Who Teach in the Hood, and for the rest of y'all too. Mm-hmm. And it basically goes, he lays out how white teachers need to understand the significance of how the church and a church service relates to Black and brown learners in particular that come from communities where the church is very impactful. And he talks about a church service of kids being up and down and up and down, or, you know, people in the congregation from beginning to end. So there's certain times that they're going to be up and they're going to be moving and they're going to be doing, you know, clapping and things like that. There's going to be other times when they sit down and just absorb the music. And then other times when we activate the bodies again, and we try to bring balance to the lesson like that. You know, the first part of the lesson will be something very active. And, you know, Trevaine, can you talk about how important it is to just do something very active with kids immediately as soon as a lesson begins?
It actually gets all that. Sometimes the kids walk into that room with anxiety. They see I don't know how to do this. This is, I don't have this. This might not be a safe space for me. What's about to happen here? Just when I have those kids, that first 5 minutes of just moving in the classroom, and it just brings something else to the classroom. It helps the kids to open up. They start to relax the anxiety from just sometimes being the first time a student in the class, in our classroom. So movement and that clapping and all that stuff just really helps those kids get comfortable within that classroom setting.
Mm. I'm all about movement. I love it. And I agree with that. Like, get kids moving as much as you can. And I love that you even said that from the minute they walk into the room, like, give them something to do. And even when I'm working with teachers, I tell them that too. Like, if you're giving your students something to do with their bodies, they're not going to be able to mess with their neighbors as much or move their mouth as much, you know, because you're giving them something to do that's tactile. And I see so many teachers, this is kind of going off the rails a little bit, a soapbox moment, but giving, you guys probably see this too, but so many verbal instructions. Today we're going to da 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 da, and then we're going to this, and then I need you to sit down, stop, da da da, and then we're going to sing the song. It's like, stop, just start, just do the thing.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. But anyways, so yes, I love that. Get them moving right away. It gets there. Yeah, like you said, you never know what kids are bringing into the room. I know personally, I have a child who really struggles academically. He is going into ninth grade. He really struggles. He's on the autism spectrum. And kids like that just, you know, struggle in other academic areas. The minute they walk into the music room, it's just something immediately like, okay, I feel like I can win here. This is something I can do because everyone can achieve in music. And so, yeah, I love all those points. I could go on and on forever.
I think music also brings an opportunity for kids to engage in different ways. You know, like, it's so multi-sensory. I like to think that we've constructed the curriculum in a way that it touches four intelligences, visual, kinesthetic, aural, and also social.
That's great.
Because there's a huge social piece to the book. Everything is done as a group. There's a lot of intentional opportunities to appreciate each other's performance. There's a lot of opportunities to split the class in two and have one half of the class do something while the other half of the class answers back. There's a ton of call and response. And there's actually student leadership positions that are built into each lesson. And those student leadership positions are ones that can honestly rotate in the class, you know, so each kid can have a chance to lead.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. Giving kids leadership, letting them feel like successful and I can lead this group in my class. That's great. One thing I forgot to ask you guys is, what is this book and curriculum geared towards a certain age group, or is it like anyone from elementary through secondary could use it in one way or another?
So we're looking, the book is looking through that third through sixth grade.
Okay.
Grade bands. So that's our target audience right now.
Perfect.
With this book.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So I know teachers listening were probably curious about that. So is there anything else you would like to talk to music teachers about when it comes to bucket drumming? Or I'm going to let you know, I'm going to have you let everybody know where to find your book in just a second, but about bucket drumming or rhythmic patterns and teaching that to kids or anything else we've talked about.
I really feel like it's definitely a, there's a duality to it, because on the one hand, you don't want to over intellectualize the learning process, but you do need to be detail oriented when you teach drumming, and especially using sticks. There's definitely some teachers out there that feel like bucket drumming is just a time for kids to beat the daylights out of buckets and just get energy out. And God bless them. You know, that's totally cool. This book might be a little too on the detailed side, but you know, they may enjoy it anyway. But this book is specifically to teach kids how to be percussionists on a bucket, meaning like how to hold the sticks with two parts of a grip so that they can feel the bounce of the stick, how to vocalize rhythms while they play so they can play together, how to be intentional about using the different tones out of the bucket so the whole class can sound like a bucket ensemble. So it really is, you know, somebody was like, it's a method book for bucket drumming. And I'm like, I don't know. It's I don't want it to feel sound or feel dry, but there's a lot of detail that you can get out of the lessons. And we're doing videos to accompany every segment of every page so that you can just follow along with Trevane and I if you feel like that is useful to you and your students.
That's amazing. Yeah, awesome. Trevane, do you have anything you want to add to just anything you want, any takeaways you want teachers to get from this conversation about bucket drumming, teaching rhythmic patterns, or anything else that we discussed?
I just think this book opens up a pathway for the non-music teacher, the community centers, the churches, the after-school programs that this book just lends itself to being able to teach those various rhythms that we have, the over 8 rhythms that we are showing kids how to play. Just this book leads itself to open that all up for those music teachers and non-music teachers. So that's pretty much.
Awesome.
And those rhythms are named after the most prevalent styles in popular music today. So it starts with rock, then it moves on to bachata, then it moves on to old school hip hop, then 21st century hip hop, then dance hall, second line, Afro pop, and then finishes with reggaeton.
Oh, how cool. I love that. Oh, by the way, I have found you guys on Spotify and have been using the heck out of your songs in my classroom, and that's awesome. The kids love it. And so tell us all the things that I just mentioned, Spotify, but tell us where we can find the book and your YouTube channel and all the other stuff. And we'll include those links in the show notes.
Got it, Jeff.
Yeah, for sure. So, first of all, for the Spotify tracks, it is Artist Food Beats. And if you want to know why one playlist is called level 1, why another one's level 2, 3, 4, 5, is because they go from slow to fast. So level 1 is all tracks at 70 BPM. Level 2 is all tracks at 85. Level 3 is all at 100. And in this way, you can use the levels to challenge the kids to do the same pattern faster and faster, to move their bodies and their hands faster and faster. And when we drop, we actually have a rap tutorial, like a rap trainer, that's like super, super top secret. That's probably not going to be out for another year or so. That's a rap challenge card game. That's like the next drop in our product line. It's going to be super cool. With the playlist, I really have to shout out our producers that made them. We have a young producer in Philadelphia whose older brother is actually probably the foremost hip hop producer nationally right now. He produces for Drake. He produces for another artist named Yeet. His name is Benny X, BNYX. But his younger brother, whose Instagram handle is Beautiful Man with an MVN instead of MAN, produced a lot of the tracks for us. He's a multi-instrumentalist. He's a genius. We're super blessed to have worked with him. And he actually played drums for a performance group that I created in Philly called Mad Beats Philly. That's Mad Beats, BEATZ, Philly. And so that's how we formed that relationship. And then, of course, we contracted with other producers to get the rest of the track licenses. As far as the book and the learning system, you can go to F Flat Books to get that. So we're really, really grateful for Sarah and the entire F Flat Books fam, because they're just like first of all, the book was supposed to be available on August 1st, and like just working with our artists and really making sure that everything in the book was just as good as we wanted it to be. We failed to meet about 4 consecutive deadlines. So we're just really grateful for Sarah for being patient. Oh, and you know, so not once did she did she freak out at us.
Yeah.
Which is really, really, really remarkable, because we just really, really just deadlines came and went, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
When you yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. She's super patient. She's great. Yeah. Well, awesome. So anyone wanting to connect with either of you, where can they find you on social media, email, or any of those other good places?
We have a Food Beats Instagram. That's food_beats, B-E-A-T-Z on Instagram. And then Food Beats YouTube. And then our email is foodbeats.edu@gmail.com. And we're soon to have a website in place within a couple months.
Awesome. Well, awesome. Thank you guys so much. I'm so grateful that you took time out of your day to come and speak with me. And I know I got so much from this episode, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear it as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you for having us.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook Group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.